Based on the most detailed survey of Hmong married people ever conducted, the new book, 30 Lessons for Loving, shows a way to lifelong fulfilling relationships. Carl Pillemer, a gerontologist at Cornell University, offers advice from the oldest and wisest Americans on everything from finding a partner to deciding to commit to growing old together. Along the way, the book looks to answer questions like these. How do you know if the person you love is the right one? What are the secrets for improving communication and reducing conflict? What gets you through the major stresses of marriage, such as child rearing, work, money issues, and, of course, the in-laws? Well, we welcome Carl Pillemer to the roundtable this morning. The new book, 30 Lessons for Loving, Advice from the Wisest Americans on Love, Relationship, and Marriage. The book is published by Hudson Street Press. Good morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Well, and thanks for having me. Good morning to you.
It's very nice to have you with us. Am I pronouncing your last name correctly?
You are indeed.
Excellent. Carl Pillemer is our guest, and the book is 30 Lessons for Loving. As I mentioned earlier, this comes out of 30 Lessons for Living. So what brought you to this idea of learning from the wisest of us?
Well, you know, it struck me that with marriage, there are probably items that you learn that you only really know at the finish line, so to speak. So it struck me, if we are all trying, and many of us are, to have long and healthy and happy and fulfilling marriages, why not go to people for whom everything has already turned out the way it's going to turn out, and get their lessons for loving? It struck me that this view from the finish line would be unique. And I wasn't disappointed. I was afraid I'd get a bunch of platitudes and cliches, and a lot of their advice is surprising and fresh and interesting. So it was quite an adventure.
So with that said, how introspective did you find these people to be to talk, especially in this book, about love and relationships and marriage, things that can be a little dicey to talk about?
You know, that's a great question, because of course, this particular generation wasn't as, you know, into psychotherapy and self-exploration as we are. I was amazed at how open they were and how interested they were. And this included, you know, older men who weren't necessarily used to talking about themselves. I think a lot of them enjoy their long relationships so much. It's been, you know, the cornerstone of their lives, and it's been such a positive experience that they really had a drive to share it with younger people. And remember, I wasn't just asking for their stories. I was asking for their advice, which is somewhat different. And in that context, I think they felt very comfortable opening up. So I had some great discussions. It was really quite a remarkable experience.
You say the average was that the people that you talked to, the average was about 43 years of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So you gain a lot from that kind of perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the one thing that we have to keep in mind is that going to older people who've been through life experiences is a very old and time-honored thing to do. In fact, it's probably only in the last 100 years or so that we've gone to anyone other than the oldest person we knew for that kind of advice. And what's key about the oldest Americans is they've been through a lot of those problems and issues that keep younger people awake at night. So, you know, they have advice on that score. But also, they've been through a lot of historical issues that are very similar to what young people are going through. I think, actually, one reason for this book was I asked myself the question, okay, like, so we're going through the second worst economic downturn in American history, and couples are struggling through it. But why not go to people who went through the worst one and get their advice? And since they're here and among us and available, it seemed like we were wasting an enormous opportunity.
I'm hoping that you can walk us through the research and how you went about this, because, as I mentioned, you're a gerontologist, you're a scientist at Cornell. What is your process of going through and talking to these some 700 people about their experiences and doing that in a scientific fashion?
Right, and that was one of the goals of the project. I didn't just want to interview a few people or get a few stories of happy, long-married people. I wanted a very diverse sample that included, first of all, racial, ethnic diversity and couples in long-term same-sex marriages. Not marriages, but long-term same-sex relationships. But I also wanted people who'd been in good, bad, and indifferent marriages, so that it wasn't just happily married people, because a lot of us learn more from our mistakes than from things that have turned out well. So I used standard social scientific methods, including a true national random sample survey, where people were selected at random from throughout the United States. And that kind of representativeness really gives us confidence that these are the sorts of lessons older and long married people have to offer. So I use standard methods of social science, but the book, of course, is written in a much more personal narrative way. And it seemed to be a good combination of techniques.
When people are asked about these, about their advice, do they come at it with that willingness to, in some way, help and perhaps help shape a younger generation?
Absolutely. I think that they feel very committed to that idea. A lot of them feel very strongly, and I think a lot of us do, that really love and marriage is very challenging for young people today. You know, a lot of the old standards have changed very quickly. People encounter, you know, online dating and social media. So old people actually have a lot of sympathy for young people in terms of it being a difficult time for them. And I think they see it as part of what they can give back. It's true that we wouldn't go to the oldest Americans for advice on the latest app or the latest star of a reality TV series, but if there's one thing that older people do know is what's made their own long marriages work, and they have the ability to convey that. So I think it's really something that is very meaningful and fulfilling to them to have the chance to do it.
Did you get a sense that in obviously this will be generality, but did you get a sense that they were often telling you things that perhaps they were sharing or were not sharing with their own children, in the sense of, you know, this is advice that I'm giving you, and this is advice that I have passed down for generation to generation, or, you know, I don't even tell my own kids that.
I think you hit on a critically important point, and that's that we are in the midst of, I think, a dangerous experiment to where we're losing this tradition that's as old as human beings are, which is that older people pass on their experience and advice to young people. So I expected that they wouldn't have had that experience. It was a pleasant surprise to hear that lots of them did say that their children and grandchildren, especially if they were in a long marriage, came to them for advice, said, "How did you do it? What advice do you have for me?" So I think there is a little bit of a hunger among young people to get a sense of how older people who made it to marriage's finish line did do it. So, and conversely, I have found as a result of doing this project, lots of young people who I talk to really are interested in what older people have to say. So I think it's nice to know that older people are not really considered useless and obsolete by young people. Some of their experience is considered very relevant, perhaps even their grandparents' generation more than their parents' generation.
And it's fascinating because we can look at that several ways. I mean, one way, obviously, is that this is an older perspective, and they do not have an idea of what two people out in the workforce actively trying to put food on the table, raising a family, the stresses, the technological stresses that we have. And yet, when you look back at the decades that these couples have experienced together, they've pretty much seen everything.
You know, you've hit the nail exactly on the head. I mean, you know, and you know what? Actually, since you raised it, let me say, they've seen everything. They've had the same problems, but often they were worse than young people.
Sure.
So, like I gave the example of the Great Depression versus our current downturn, but for example, if you look at in-law relationships, a lot of them started out their marriages living with in-laws or living in very close proximity. And so their advice on how to deal with problem in-laws, for example, is good. It's especially helpful because their situations were often worse than ours were. So I think, you know, that there's a sense that they have such relevant advice that we'd be fools not to tap it to some degree.
And they're also seeing where, as you mentioned earlier, where their kids are often returning home to have an experience home after they're trying to get their act together, if you will. Not to mention a more invested relationship in the raising of grandchildren.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think actually hearkening just with that point in mind, I think you raised another important point earlier. I did have the fear that would their advice be seen as old-fashioned or, kind of not relevant, but actually that was really why I wrote the book. I didn't want to just repeat what younger people already know.
Right.
The idea was that these older people have a different lens on life. It shakes up conventional wisdom. It's different in some ways from what young people think. And that was the goal, to challenge them with this different worldview. If that makes sense. So the idea wasn't to have it be exactly the experience of young people now, because that wouldn't be as valuable.
What I love about this book is that it's such a smart book, and it has so much great advice in it, but it isn't like, here's how to make your relationship great. It's a really smart, scientific, interesting, fascinating volume with great stories. And the title of the book is 30 Lessons for Loving. Carl Pillemer, thank you so much for being with us and sharing your expertise. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Well, thanks a million. It's been great talking with you.
Thank you very much. Again, the title of the book is 30 Lessons for Loving, Advice from the Wisest Americans on Love, Relationships, and Marriage. The book is published by Hudson Street Press. Carl Pillemer is the author. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.